The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And we are back for another installment of Keep It Real. I have the wonderful Danny Pellegrino joining me again this week, twice this week on Keep It.
My luck.
And I need you now to, first of all, fill me in because I was sick and I could not make BravoCon last weekend. How was it? Because you weren't at the one last year. I was in the New York one. And right. Now you got to go to the Vegas one, which looked like it was giving like blockbuster movie sequel. It was like bigger sets, more Bravo celebrities.
Yes. And I had only been to the, well, hi, buddy. It's so good to see you again.
I
had only been to the first year, so I missed the second year. But so I was only comparing it to that first year, but it did seem like BravoCon on steroids in the best way. It was so much was going on. I liked that everything was in like one location, so it didn't feel so spread out like it does often in New York, or at least I've heard from the last year in New York as well. And so I thought it was a great time. And my only one complaint is that the lighting was kind of all over the place. And so it's like with pictures with the housewives and stuff, everybody looks so different in every different lighting. It's like they need to work that out for maybe next year. But other than that, I thought everything was like so smooth. I thought the panels were great. I thought the access to Bravo celebrities was really fun. Just like walking around and seeing people walk around, whether it be even in the casinos or the hotels, you saw people walking around, or at the actual convention center, a lot of people were walking around. So I thought it was so much fun and really well organized. It didn't seem to be any hiccups in tech or backstage or any of those kinds of things, at least that I noticed. So I thought it was so fun. I was disappointed you weren't there because I was so excited to have some cocktails with you, but next year.
I know. I would have loved to hit the craps table too with one of the housewives. But tell me about, so you hosted the OC panel, right?
Yeah, I did the Orange County and the Miami panels. And those were really fun. And it was a challenge on stage. It is hard because their crowds are so loud and excited. And
it's like wrestling.
It is like
those people are screaming constantly. It's sort of like, it's very British reality TV. Yeah. Like, I don't know if you've watched like a lot of British stuff. I'm watching Big Brother UK right now. And if you've seen like even clips of regular Big Brother, it's just like, it's just Julie Chen and this audience. And you know, like Julie Chen will shoot you if you scream while she is talking. But for UK Big Brother, while they're doing the show, while they're doing live evictions, like the audience is screaming and they're going like, get Paul out. Get put, like they're screaming things
at
the contestants. And I feel like BravoCon is just that. There's people screaming at people. There's people, I saw so many clips of people going up to the mic and asking wild as hell questions. And I'm like, where do you get sort of even like the balls to go up and ask like someone like, asking Kyle, like, when are you going to get your head out of Teddy's ass?
I know people are so bold in the audience. I was very lucky for my two panels. The audience questions were great. I thought it was a tricky balance. I have to watch Big Brother now because that sounds amazing. But it was challenging on stage to hear because you have an earpiece in and then connected. And then all of the housewives are there. And for both of my panels, it was like the housewives plus the friend of. So it was a very large group of people plus a loud crowd. So it was hard to really hear as well as I think I would have liked to. all that was going on. But otherwise, I thought everything went really well. And those questions from the audience, I kind of felt like moderating the best idea was to like go into the panel and ask those questions that everyone wanted. So like for Orange County, the very first thing that I asked was about Shannon's DUI. Cause it's like the audience, that's what they're sitting there for. That's what they're most interested in hearing about. It's like, let's get that out of the way. And then also I thought the better strategy was for like the panel to address it right off the top. Otherwise those audience questions will come in and they'll be asked in a much more aggressive way after people, after people have been boozing and stuff. So, but I felt lucky. All the questions that people asked in mine and Miami too. I sort of went into the Miami panel thinking that it was going to be one thing, and then it turned out to be more of like a celebration of Gertie announcing she's cancer free, and it became a little more heartfelt and stuff. So I think it turned out great in so many different ways. But yeah, I thought they were so fun. Yeah.
I love that. I think the Miami was one of the best panels. So
thank you.
I saw bits of that.
Yeah, it went well. It was a good mix. And all of the women, we did have a little of a tiny few moments of the shade or the infighting or whatever that fans, I think, tend to like from those things. But for the most part, it was like really supportive and great. And I think the Miami women, I love that show. And I think it's so good. So I was excited
about
it. It's
Bravo's best Housewives franchise.
Yeah,
currently.
Ira, why aren't people, I don't know if people... aren't, well, I mean, I guess people are watching it, but I don't know if people embrace it in the way that they should, because it really is so consistently good.
I know. I mean, it's the same way that for a while Potomac was the best one, and now Miami's taking it over. And even then, when Potomac was the biggest one, like, were people paying enough attention to it as they should have? So we're in such like an interesting, fun renaissance for Bravo, and I just want the eyeballs to be on it.
Totally. It was funny too to, I think Alexia had maybe a bad season last season and now she's like becoming peacemaker. Yeah.
She was very Teresa Light last year.
I love her, but it was, it's so funny.
I love her too.
Yeah. It's so funny. Now she's become the peacemaker. And so even on the panel, it was funny to like see that side of her that was coming out. And I don't know. It was just all so funny to me. Yeah. And also talking to the women like backstage before I tried to introduce myself, because some of them I knew and some of them I didn't know, but I was trying to like talk to them and also just read the temperature of the group to see if there's anything. Obviously they have questions that they want us to ask, but you know, I was trying to see like, well, can I go rogue here? Or like, what can I ask? Or what's this relationship dynamic like? But it seemed like the Miami women really got along, and even the Orange County women too. I felt like backstage, I was looking to see who's fighting or whatever, and everyone seemed to be getting along, which was good, but it also seemed like there was enough kind of juice in the tank for them all to have more stuff to come in the seasons ahead. But yeah.
That's why I love Miami, because I feel like the best sort of recipe for Housewives, and this will lead me into Roni, the biggest thing coming out of BravoCon, I feel like, the best sort of recipe for Housewives is literally you want them to be able to fight with one another, have disagreements, but you also want them to still be able to have fun with each other. When you set up, you know, like the sides at the reunion where, and there's one couch and another couch, you do not want it to literally be like two alliances fighting with each other though, where they all hate each other except for the people they're sitting next to, you know?
Yeah. I totally agree. I think the shows work best when there's layers. So even though the couches on the reunion are going to be like usually one side and two side, I still want those other sides, one side to be friends with one woman from the other side. And you know what I mean? Like I want those relationships. I think they work best when they overlap, because I think when the housewives tend to be on one side or the other, then the show becomes kind of flat. And then also I feel like it takes us out of the show a little bit because it becomes less realistic. It feels like they're just picking the side that works best for them.
Right.
I don't know if that makes
Potomac,
sense.
Potomac, literally, right now, it's just like two factions, you know? It's like you're either Karen, Candace, or Wendy, or everyone else. And the only thing that's really exciting me about this current season is the fact that Karen and Giselle are back to being friendly again. Even at BravoCon, when they were throwing shade at each other, Karen said something about Giselle, but then she followed it up with, but see, that's why I love Giselle, and that's why she and I work well together on the show. Like, they get it.
Yeah.
Anyone else.
I caught the second half of the Potomac panel. It was the best thing I had seen at Bravo. Rachel Lindsay moderated, and she did such a great job of
balancing.
She's
so fucking good.
She's the best, yeah. And she just did a great job of balancing all of the things we want from that panel. And the women too, I thought they just really did a good job. But one thing, just quickly going back to Miami, I want to mention is that I do think Audriana and Larsa have a kind of frenemy ship or whatever.
That's, I love it.
Like, it is so good. And I don't know if people appreciate it in the way, obviously we love Karen and Giselle scenes together, but I love like Audriana and Larsa communicating in any way. And I think they're getting along right now, but I find it, the two of them in a scene together just cracks me the fuck up.
Yeah. I mean, Audriana's the one who, she's the friend of on Miami who serves sort of like she could be main cast member. Still, I think, I'm like, Andy, do you not like her or something? Like, she was giving you choreo, video last season. Her walking into the premiere with the white flag. I'm like, she is a star.
She is. Like, give her the mojito. We chatted or chanted on stage, like, give her a mojito at one point. But I agree. I don't really understand, like, why they're not. Maybe it's a contract thing, or I don't know what it is. But yes, I agree.
Yeah. Okay, so lastly, Roni. This was so exciting and weird because obviously Ramona Singer wasn't there.
But Avery was. Did you hear that?
But yes. I mean, Avery was there selling her stuff. She's got to get the bag.
Right. And also, I think they pay so much for those bazaar booths. I don't know how much
Yeah, she was like, I'm not missing it.
Yeah, like they prepaid that thing. So somebody had to show. It was like going to be her or Ray from New York. Like somebody from New York was showing up for that. Bizarre.
So they showed the Roni Legacy trailer. And what was the reaction that weekend just from people like seeing it? Were people excited to see the Roni women back? I know I'm excited to see them. And I didn't hate the reboot. I liked at the end of it all, I would give it a C+ as a season. And I think that's the A is for Jessel, Pavitt, and Jenna. And everyone else gets like a D.
So it's balanced. So it's pretty much a D. It's balanced. But then it's really, yeah, okay.
C+.
I do love Brynn. Like, I'm sort of obsessed with Brynn.
I do enjoy her too. I think she had a very strong beginning of the season where we were learning about her identity, and it made her interesting in a way we haven't really seen on sort of like the White House wives shows, like talking about race like that. But then her dance, then she just sort of became sort of like comic relief towards the end and didn't really have much storyline. I wanted sort of more from her and the Gideon person. I feel like these women, more so than any of the other housewives, are busy hiding relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Her, yeah. Uba, what is going on?
And
if you're
you
dating a man, I want to see him on camera.
Exactly. If you're doing to do the show, like, we're going to need to see it. I need to see Jenna like want to be there. Like, I thought she's interesting and I'm interested in her. But it doesn't seem like she wants to be there. And so
your girlfriend's not Big Papa, okay? Right? So
and I would almost love that better. Like, if Jenna's going to hide the significant other, then like let's make it a funny thing. Like, let's make it something. But yeah, and I thought the casting for the new New York was great, but it was too long. Mm-hmm. The season was so boring because it was all stretched out. But I love all the women, and I think next season will be really good, and I'm very excited about them coming together. But yeah, and I'm obsessed with Brynn. I thought Jessel was incredible. And so I think all the ingredients are there. And hopefully next season they'll have a chance to really be cohesive. And also I want more of like the dynamics between each other and not so much of, great. We got to know their individual.
You need interpersonal dynamics. You need, now they're going to be reacting to how people react to them on camera. And I mean, you know, I'm not saying we need a Giselle on the show, but we definitely do need like a little Kyle Richards, a Kenya Moore, someone. Like someone has to be giving you like, I'm putting on my producer hat. Because if Jenna is not going to talk about who she's dating, then
somebody
you need to be
messy
at lunch with the other girls and be like, so Jenna's dating this person. Why haven't we seen them? You know, like bringing up Uba's thing when they got mad at her about it. I'm like, okay, someone should be talking about who you're dating in Connecticut. Like that should be a storyline.
Right. There was an element too. I felt like they were all a little hesitant to even confront Jenna about anything. And of course, she's Jenna fucking Lyons. I would be the same way. But it's on a show like that, we need to no one to be afraid of anyone.
You need another star, when Yolanda Hadid was not afraid of Lisa Vanderpump.
Yeah, yeah. Whenever they're afraid of each other, it like never works. But yeah. I did meet Sai briefly too at BravoCon. I thought she was really nice and lovely.
She's nice in person and lovely. I interviewed her. I met her at a Marc Jacobs party like recently. And I think she's fun in person. I hate her behavior on the show.
Yeah, it was not a good season for her.
Yeah. So Roni Legacy.
But the legacy
trailer.
Yeah, the trailer was so good. But I also have to just say the legacy women kind of going around, it's particularly with like Luann and Sonia, those are the ones who I saw a lot. They are just superstars in that world. Like the fans love the two of them and people go nuts. And Dorinda too. It's like there's an energy with them. And so I think people are really excited about the new Roni, but then it was so thrilling to get to see. I thought the trailer was so good of Roni Legacy.
It was pure innocent fun, you know?
Yeah,
like they were just they were like laughing with each other. You got some one-liners. Like it's they're people with history. I actually think, you know, lastly, just to say about this Roni Legacy and like future things with Housewives is we're in such an interesting place where they're finally expanding the universe in a way that I feel like we've always wanted. And I think even they were talking about shakeups with Atlanta or something, right? You know, I think now we're in a space where if you're fired from, when you were fired from Bravo, you were sort of fired. Yeah. And we never saw you again. And now with BravoCon and now with this other stuff, if you're fired from Bravo, you sort of get everything, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you still get to film. And to me, actually, if I was in the cast, that seems like the ideal scenario because they get paid a ton of money to go on that girls' trip. And it's like a week or two of filming. And then, of course, they have to do confessionals and stuff. But so I think it seems great. I was at the airport with Kristen Takeman before. I had never met her before, but we ended up chatting a little bit at the airport before going to BravoCon. And so I was trying to get like as much dirt as possible as I could. But even talking to Herb and then also talking to some other people like involved in the show, I do think that she'll have a good season and it'll be like, I don't know. She seems like looser and I don't, at least from what I've heard, I think we'll end up liking her, but I could be
wrong.
For
people like that, it's very beneficial to go on Girls Trip because you can restart your entire Bravo career.
Yeah, yeah. And I think she kind of jokingly says they just ran out of people. And so they asked her, which is probably true. I'm sure that's true. But I think it'll be interesting to see. But all those women, I think that group of women has such a history together that no matter what they're doing on screen, I love the Crappy Lake show. I would love it if they did a season two of that. Or even, you know, they could add in a Dorinda to that or something like that. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's fun how they're using the women in different ways. But the Girls Trip trailer, I just thought like, yeah, that's what these shows, it seems great.
That's what we want to see.
Dramatic and funny and Dorinda giving us an insane line about eagles and pigeons and breadcrumbs. Like, it's what I need.
Well, thank you for being here to talk BravoCon with me, Danny. And speaking of those women, coming up next, I have...
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
The Countess Luann joining me.
She's a superstar.
We're going to have a good time.
Ira, she's like the best. She's a superstar.
She's a star.
Yeah,
she's a star. An icon.
100%.
Yeah. Know her as a countess, but we know her as a queen. Today on Keep It, we have a legendary Housewives alum, but not only is she a popular cabaret entertainer selling out shows all over the country, she's been flexing her small town muscles on her new show, Luann and Sonia. Welcome to Crappy Lake. Please welcome to Keep It the woman who puts the chic in C'est la vie, Luann de Lesseps.
Oh, what an intro. Thank you, Ira.
It's so lovely to have you here. And I guess I just have to ask, you know, what was it like, you know, doing this show with Sonia and having this sort of be a time away from, you know, the regular schedule of doing Roni for years?
Right, right. Well, I mean, it's completely different. You know, Sonia and I, we were surprised when we got this call, you know, last year, which was, would you girls, you know, like to do this, et cetera. And, you know, we jumped on it. You know, we're small town girls at heart. You know, we grew up in small towns. Of course, our life has changed since then, but we are small town girls at heart. And so when they asked us to do this, it was like, I mean, how great to be able to go into a town, help people, you know, work with the mayor to improve the town. You know, it's produced by Russell and Jay and Jeff Jenkins, who produced The Simple Life originally, and they produced all the Kardashians. And so we got to work with a great production team. And so it's kind of Simple Life meets Schitt's Creek kind of show. And to be able to work with the mayor and improve the town again and, you know, build a playground for children and help with the dog shelter and, you know, do a variety show, which is right up my alley and Sonia's, and work with the locals was really great. I mean, I didn't know what to expect. They didn't know what to expect when we arrived. Mm-hmm. But I must say, we really fell in love with these people. The motel since then has added an additional wing. They're sold out for next year. They're so good for next year. The Luann and Sonia suite is like hot. And so it felt really great to be able to shift from the Housewives to do something where, you know, it's really about helping others and really not focused on us so much. And, you know, I love comedy. You know, it's part of what I do in cabaret. And Sonia as well. And I think, you know, when they came to the network and said, who do you have? They handpicked me and Sonia. You know, so people compare us to Laverne and Shirley, The Odd Couple. We even have the initials of Laverne and Shirley, Lou and
Sonia.
You do. We do. L. Anyway, so, you know, we jumped on it and it was just, it was a dream job for me, you know, to be able to do comedy, help people at the same time and, you know, and use our chops, you know, of what we know what to do in life in terms of kind of being Renaissance women. Like we can decorate, we can do, you know, a variety show. We can, you know, we can build a playground. We can, you know, do all of these things. And so they picked the right team.
You got to flex some different muscles than you would usually on the show. And I saw that you got to meet at least Bryn Whitfield recently. Sort of what was your interaction with her? And have you met any of the other women from the show?
Well, you know, I met Bryn the other night at God's Love and she was like, what did she say? You're the Michael Jordan of the Housewives. You know, which, you know, she was very gracious and very, you know, happy to meet me. And I hadn't really met her before. I think she was actually at the upfronts. I don't know if she was there, but I met the girls at the upfronts. I hadn't met any of them before. I don't know them. But, I think they're great. I love Bryn. She's got a lot of energy. And, you know, she's got that sexy kitty cat, you know, appeal. And she's a hot girl. And anyway, so that was like the first time we really met. And it was fun to meet her.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that it would be fun for, you know, the women to mix with some of the women who used to be on the show? Or do you think that, you know, maybe you all should just continue to do something like Ultimate Girls Trip and maybe just be in your own universe?
Well, you know, listen, you never know. I think that, you know, the Roni Legacy OG cast, you know, we have our show coming out now in December. And, you know, it's a different flavor. I think that never say never. I would love to see us on Family Feud, wouldn't you? The OGs versus the newbies. Wouldn't that be amazing? So, you know, I think that there's a universe where, you know, they might possibly, you know, mix us up, and I don't know in what way, shape, or form, but I don't think it's a bad idea. I think it's genius. You're a genius, Ira.
Speaking of, I guess, the different flavor you said of interacting with the women on just a trip, obviously you've done trips before with all of these women, but how did this one feel different? Because I have to imagine, usually when you're going on a trip on Roni, it is you're already filming the season and then issues come up and you're already dealing with things as you've been filming, but you've been on a break from one another for the most part. And now, did it feel like a real vacation or not?
Well, you know, it really did, because we haven't filmed in years together. And so to be able to take a trip and reconnect with the girls on 1 week holiday back to St. Bart's was fantastic. I think it's really different from the first Ultimate Girls Trip, which is, I was on that one as well. So you have women from different franchises coming together. So it's kind of a get to know you period as well. Mm-hmm. So it felt totally different, our OG trip, because we know each other really well already. Right. And so it feels, you know, it feels different in that way. And we get to talk about things from the past, from all the Roni seasons. Of course, there's going to be Scary Island references. And, you know, that fourth wall comes down. So you get to hear from Kelly, what she, you know, heard the afterthought of, you know, all those years ago, because I mean, it was like 10 years ago. Right. So I think it's really interesting. Of course, there's, you know, we have our own drama. And, but I got to say, we had a really fun time. And I think, I think that's a good shift. I think some of the franchises can tend to get a little dark and or heavy. And I feel like this is really light and fun. You know, of course, there's always drama when you put the Roni girls together. But it's, you know, it was a good time. And I think people are going to really love this show in terms of, you know, that fourth wall that comes down and you get to hear, you know, kind of what happened in Kristen Takeman's life and why she's no longer on the show, and et cetera. So there's a lot to unpack with all of us. And along the way, there's a lot of comedy, as always.
Did it feel, you know, sort of weird having you all there and then having, you know, the one missing elephant in the room, I guess, being Bethany, and, you know, with her sort of recent anti-Bravo and Andy vibe? Like, how have you sort of reacted to all
of that? Well, thank God she wasn't there.
Exactly.
Thank God she wasn't there. And we did not miss her.
I have to imagine, no, that no one did.
No. Didn't come up, actually. Did not even come up.
Oh, that's even better, you know, because you know she'll be watching.
Of course.
I feel like one of the questions that people are always asking about you is, how do you look so damn good? You're still one of the hottest housewives. What is the skincare routine? What is going on, Luann?
Oh, I tell you, you know, it's funny because people are really loving the longer hair. And I feel like the longer hair really does make my face look thinner. And everybody's going, well, what did you do? I haven't really done anything, you know, aside from, our little injections of Botox. But But I really haven't done anything except get a little thinner, grow my hair longer, and like bump up my style. You know, I've been working more, you know, I've always styled myself. And, you know, and I'm lucky I have Giovanni.
Okay. Well, you're absolutely looking great. Yeah, Thank you. We love the Giovanni. So, yeah.
And you know, I feel like I'm in a, you know, this is a part of my life where I feel like I'm really in the driver's seat. I'm having a great time. I'm happy. I'm single and I'm enjoying that. And I'm just, you know, I'm doing all kinds of things with, you know, television and, you know, cabaret and that being successful. It's just, I'm really living, you know, I'm living my dream right now. And I think that shows as well. I think when someone's happy, you can really see the difference. So,
okay, that's great that you've been, you know, single, living life in New York.
I've been through it, darling. I have been through it, like everybody else. You know, you have your ups, your downs, and you know. So, I mean, I'm kind of plateaued here. You know, it's so I feel really good, and you know, my kids are good, and like I said, you know, I'm enjoying being single, and just, you know, doing what I love to do, which is, you know, television and cabaret.
Yes. I mean, well, speaking of, you know, like television and cabaret as well, you also, I feel like in 2019, there was the chance that you might have been doing Chicago and then that didn't happen. Sort of like what happened there? And is that something that's still a dream of yours, doing Broadway?
Well, doing Broadway, yeah. I mean, I at the time was on, I was touring with my own show, and they asked me to play Mama Morton, and it just didn't work out. It was like a timing issue, and I didn't have enough time to rehearse, and so I kind of passed on it. But you know, I love the idea of doing Broadway, and you know, who knows? Maybe they'll circle back with Roxy.
Yeah, I mean, that would be fun too. So, you know, I think a better role for you.
Right.
Something a little flashier.
Right. And also, you know, other shows that are on Broadway, you know, making maybe little cameo appearances and stuff like that. You know, I do love Broadway. I do sing some Broadway songs in my show, Cabaret. Mm-hmm. So, but I take them and I change them up. Like, you know, if I sing, Big Spender, you know, it's like, hey, big loser, you know. I change the lyrics, you know, to make it more me. You know, I don't do a ton of Broadway. I do a lot of my own music. And of course, I do some covers that I love to sing because it's really about my passion for music and growing up, you know, singing for my friends. And that's how I started Cabaret. One of my best friends said, Lou, you love to host parties. You love to sing for your friends and you love to tell jokes. If you don't know me, Eric, but I do love to tell jokes. So he goes, you should be doing cabaret. And I'm like, oh, I never even thought about that. Anyway, so when I started in 2018, I didn't really realize I was kind of filling a niche in cabaret that nobody's really doing cabaret right now. It kind of turned into Countess and Friends to Countess Cabaret. And, you know, before I had a lot of guests and now it's my own show.
Yeah, I saw one of the earlier shows, I think, when you first started, back when I used to live in Los Angeles. So that was a wild event. Yes, I saw the Wiltern. Yeah,
2,500 people. It was packed.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I booked the Wiltern again. I'm going to be playing Valentine's Day with a new show in 2024.
I love that. Congrats.
Yeah, so I'm going back to the Wiltern.
What's some of the... I feel like, you know, doing the cabaret is so different from when you were just doing the show and then you'd be in New York and like a fan would stop you on the street. Now you have interactions with them every show. You know, what's some of your favorite interactions that you might have had via the show? And what's some that you were sort of like, this is the wildest interaction I've ever had?
Well, okay. So my fans, I do a Q&A with my audience and without a doubt, somebody asked me, okay, Countess, Mary F. Kill. So I get this question and she goes, okay, David Letterman, Brad Pitt, or Andrew Dice Clay. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to marry David Letterman because he's funny and he's rich. I never liked Brad Pitt that much. So I'm going to have to kill Brad Pitt and I'm going to have to F Andrew Dice Clay. She goes, good, because he's sitting right behind me. And Andrew Dice Clay stands up. I swear to God. I almost died. He stands up, he goes, and he's got a cigarette. You know, hey, here's my lipstick. Hang on. Counted. Countess, your show's fucking amazing. I love you, Countess. He was there. So he got dragged to my show by his fiance. And and that's how he was in the audience. And I had no idea. And so that was like one of the funniest things that ever happened. And one of the like craziest things is that a fan projectile vomited on me. So that was,
oh my God,
that was, that was, that doesn't happen very often. Thank God. Yeah. So yeah, there's some interesting things going on at my show. Cause it's a fun time. It's a party.
It is. The fans were lit. You know, they were dressed up.
They party, they get dressed, they show up with their statement necklaces. They are out to see the Countess and they show up and they turn it out, which I, you know, it's such a huge nod to me, you know. And they become friends. They hang out together because they have the common thread of the housewives and something to talk about. So automatically they're connected, which is so cool. They'll like, they'll meet people and then they'll go out together. You know, you don't get that when you go to some, you know, random concert, right? It's like, there's no connection, you know, with my fans and my audience, they're totally connected. And they're sharing this experience together and they have that common thread.
Of the Housewives. Yeah, of course. You know, I'm very close friends with Danny Pellegrino and you told him that you were looking at venues once, like sort of around Australia. So like, have you had plans for the show to go international soon?
Totally, totally. I am doing a big festival for Gay Pride in June in London. So I'm super excited about that. Yeah. So I'm getting over to London and we're working on dates for Australia because we have a huge fan base, or, you know, I do in Australia. So so I'm really excited to get there because I'll have fans that come, you know, from Australia, from Europe, Ireland all the time, and they have to come to New York because they can't see my show otherwise. So I'd really like to bring my show overseas.
I really think that it's been sort of a interesting era for sort of like Bravo right now, just because I feel like so many of the housewives one have like podcasts, right? They're not doing cabaret shows, they're doing podcasts, and they're sort of revisiting a lot of the shows that they did, or they're talking about other shows. Have you ever really revisited actual episodes of the previous Roni seasons? Is that something that sort of terrifies you, or sort of how do you feel about looking at old seasons of Luann? I feel like you've had one of the most, you've had one of the biggest journeys, I think, of anyone on Bravo, from season one Luann to where you are now.
I'm not a big reminiscer. I just am not. I'm the kind of person that I always say the windshield is bigger than the rear mirror for a reason. You know, I'm not somebody who looks back a lot, who reminisces a lot. I'm really somebody who tries to live in the moment and live for, you know, what's next. Although, you know, I like to see my house in the Hamptons that I had years ago when I started. Because it's not there anymore, you know, because I've moved since then. So it's so great to see the house that we had, to see the kids and Rosie, you know, with the townhouse in New York, all the schlepping I used to do with the kids, getting them in and out from the Hamptons to New York to school and back and all that stuff. But I don't go there often.
I feel like, you know, you're, even without reminiscing, you know, I feel like you're always been so open about discussing the past on the show, answering fan questions, you know? So I mean, like, how do you even find, I guess, this resilience to be able to discuss everything, to roll with the punches on the show too, and like see yourself one season and then at the reunion discuss it and then move on?
Right. Well, you know, you kind of have to. And that being somebody, like I just explained, that I'm not a big reminiscer and I'm not thinking so much about like what happened before, I'm able to move on quicker, I think, than a lot of people. You know, and over the years, I've become more resilient because life makes you resilient. You know, I've taken a lot of punches. I always compare myself to that doll. Remember the big blow up doll that had the weighted bottom and you would hit it and would fall back and then keep bouncing back. I'm like that weighted doll that, you know, bam, and I just keep coming back. You know, as long as I have that resilience and that flexibility in my life right now, I mean, I feel blessed and And the punches are getting easier as I go along. You know what I mean? It's like, I try not to let, like, Jules Aaron used to get the episode and go, oh, let's watch it. I can't wait to watch it. Like at 9 o'clock at night, it would be like, yes. I want to sleep well tonight. I am not watching it because I'll be thinking about it and I won't be able to sleep. Mm-hmm. You know, so I've always kind of, you know, my family always came first. I've always been very protective. My kids have been on the show, but not really a lot. It's not their thing. And they didn't sign up for it. So they have been supportive. They've been amazing throughout this journey and actually have grown up literally on television. And I just feel like, you know, I'm onto my next chapter of my life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and hopefully that includes, you know, a new husband, three times the charm, right?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. You know, we I think we need another Countess wedding, you know? What's the dating pool like in New York? I just deleted every app off my phone this morning, like a friend did. I was like, I need to find people in the wild.
Yeah, you need to be in the wild. I think it's a much better way of connecting. You know, during COVID, it was a great way to connect to people. But, you know, God bless and, you know, knock on wood that we don't have to go back to that way of living. And I'd love to go out and meet people. I'm a people mm-hmm. person, you know, that's why I do cabaret. I love people and I love connecting to people, you know, in a real way. And I think, you know, you just have to get out and mingle if you're single.
Yeah. I guess lastly, Luette, you know, when can we expect some new music from you? Can we expect an album? Like, what's going on here?
I am working on a new song actually with Bruce Roberts, who wrote my new Christmas song with Billy Stritch. So I am working on a new song, and the tone is Mary F. Kill, because that's really the tour that's coming up. So it's like, who do I want to marry? So I'm having a lot of fun with that. So I do have a new music coming up, and you know, really kind of geared towards my next tour, and you know, and definitely talk about doing more music for sure.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being here, Luann. I mean, I feel like you've been through so much on Bravo, and you've given us so much, and it's been so fun to see your journey. And you're truly always on the top of everyone's favorite Housewives.
Thanks, Sarah. I hope you'll come to my new show.
I'd love to.
Check out the dates. I don't know where you are. Are you in the city?
I'm in New York. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Awesome. I'm playing New York. I'm doing some holiday shows at the end of December. So.
Okay, great. I'll absolutely be there. Thanks to the Countess Luann for joining me this week. Thank you to Danny Pellegrino for being on Keep It Twice this week. And we're going to take a tiny break from Keep It Real, but we will be back with more episodes, more interviews, more reality TV chat. And let us know who you want to see on the show. Who do you want me to talk to? I'm watching Big Brother UK right now. I'm watching Survivor UK. I'm watching House of Villains. Plenty of other people that I can talk to right now. So let me know. Keep It is a Crooked Media production. Our senior producer is Kendra James. Our producer is Chris Lord. And our associate producer is Malcolm Whitfield. Our executive producers are Ira Madison III and Louis Vertel.
This episode was recorded and mixed by Evan Sutton. Thank you to our digital team, Megan Patzel and Rachel Gajewski, and to Matt DeGroot and David Tolles for production support every week.
And as always, Keep It is recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.